Hamashiach has come to Israel. Moses and the prophets described him very well.
If you're looking for the Father,
you'll find him in the Son.
Praise Yahweh. We are to lift up our hearts today and read the Word. We're going to study Yahweh's Word today, even about that law of liberty and the little bit on the year of liberty that we're to proclaim, Isaiah 61. So greetings, brethren. This is YahvehNotYahweh.com, and I am Stephan Yah. And first of all, we're going to go to Vayikra, or Leviticus 25:10, about that perfect law of liberty coming up, that 50th year, or it could be sooner. And you shall set apart the 50th year. This is chapter 25, verse 10 of Vayikra. Set apart the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. And in the Psalms it says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. That's Psalm 119, verse 45. I will walk at liberty, because I seek thy precepts. And then in that famous caption there from Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of Yahweh, the Mighty One, is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. So this is mainly referring to the Messiah here when he came the first time. And some use the word Yeshua. And here we have studied about that, and we use the name of Yahosha. Yasha is also correct. Some even use Yahvehosha. So, the Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, spiritually bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh, and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be magnified. That's all from Isaiah, the 61st chapter and first three verses there. And proclaiming liberty unto them in Yirmiyah chapter 34 now, starting in verse 8, to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant, and every man his maidservant, being a Hebrew or a Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew his brother. Now to Galatians, in the Brit Kadashah, the book of Galatians 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherefore Yahosha Messiah has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Yes, he's freed us from our sinful nature and given us the Ruach HaKadosh after immersion or baptism, or tubal, to be the Hebrew word tubal there, to be immersed into his memorial name of Yahweh and his son Yahosha. And the other that we qualified for you, Yeshua, is also found in the Hebrew scriptures. Then in the book of James, Yaakov, that is, chapter 1. And in here, looking for the word liberty, but also the word that is such a taboo thing in Christian churches these days. James 1:25. Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and there's that taboo word, but it also means faith, the faith. So if any man among you seem to be in the faith, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's faith or religion is vain. pure religion and undefiled religion before Yahweh and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There's that great commandment. You know, the first four commandments of the Decalogue in Exodus chapter 20. We're supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, but they say, well, you're confusing justification with sanctification there and so on. No, they've got all kinds of ins and outs and alibis and sidestepping the truth. To keep ourselves unspotted from the world, meaning to keep his perfect law of liberty. And that is the Torah. That's the whole scripture, actually. First, Kepha now. Chapter 2, verse 16, Peter speaking there, Kepha, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of Yahweh, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean, escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh and the Savior, Yahusha Messiah, that they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's 2 Kepha chapter 2 and 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than, after they had known it, to turn from the pure commandment delivered unto them. Then in John, the book of John 8:22 or 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Faith comes by hearing and studying the word. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, not the spirit of error, but the spirit of truth. And to love Yahweh with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The word love is mentioned hundreds of times in the Old Testament, by the way. Then in Romanos chapter 6, verse 8, Shaul said, now, if we be dead with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto being separated or being made pure. King James and the popular versions, holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You had no righteousness when you were the servants of sin. But what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to Elohim, you have your fruit unto holiness, rather being separated. You have your fruit unto being separated or being Kodesh. And the end, everlasting life. Now that's a good ending there. It never ends. Then in chapter 8, we're going to go over here now. So scroll down to chapter 8 of Romanos, and then chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah has made me free from the law of sin and death. Then later in the next verse, they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you can read that whole verse for you. But I don't want to get into all the teaching of that particular verse. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's the key here, what we need to do. Don't walk after the flesh, if possible. For what the law could not do, and speaking of the law, the sacrificial law, not that there's no actual ceremonial law. Ceremony is like going to church. That's the ceremonial law, so everybody does that. For what the sacrificial law, the animal sacrifice, could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. Yahweh sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So there it is, Romans chapter 8, verse 3. It also says, for the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. It is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. Seek first Yahweh with your whole heart and mind. And as we have said before and here and during these services and for you on the Sabbath day and the pure days, the separated days of Yahweh, such as Passover, not Easter, such as First Fruits or Pentecost or Shavuot. And we have said also for Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles there in the autumn, that is such a wonderful life to be able to live it, even here on earth. We're in the kingdom of Yahweh here on earth. We're actually walking in His commandments, statutes, and judgments, and being blessed as we go to the feast, and of course, hearing wonderful, inspiring messages and encouraging one another with all the great fellowship and enjoying the wonderful aspects of the feast properties there, the very fine appointments, as we have flocked our Sukkotes at the Feast of Tabernacles with all kinds of different fruit and branches. And hopefully the weather will be just perfect for you there at the Feasts of Yahweh. I can't put them down. I know a religious radio program on there that has a derogatory attitude toward these feasts and trying to put the Jews, all of their faith, down and make it a minus thing, that if you were a Jew, it would be the worst thing in the world, you know, according to them. But we've been reading the Word now for 40-plus years as I've been leader of these congregations, these little congregations in the Great Northwest, and have just been so blessed up there at the feast, whether it be near Portland, Oregon, or up at a beautiful mountain lake, or in the desert, or in an alley somewhere in Vegas, or you know, Los Angeles, or over to New York at Brooklyn. If we were just in the slums there and kept the feast with them, or in prison, what a wonderful place to be able to share with the open-minded people. You have a captive audience there in the prison. So Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, Yah, verse 16 out of the sixth chapter. Thus saith Yahweh, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. You'll find shalom. The rest of that verse says, but they said, we will not walk therein. They'll say, well, the law was finished. Did they say anything positive about Yahweh and the Torah and Yahweh's memorial name? Oh, and His memorial of creation, His Sabbath. You know, there's one commandment in the Brit Kadashah that was not repeated or mentioned, and that's the third commandment. Do not take His name, His memorial name, in vain. And Yahweh's memorial, the Sabbath, is mentioned 28 times in the New Testament, not including the four Gospels, as, well, maybe it's 20, 25 or six, I don't know, I've lost count in there somewhere. But His Sabbath day, of course, mentioned in Hebrews 4, in Isaiah 66, in the prophetic scriptures, Isaiah 66, and Zechariah 14, many other places in the future here, as we look forward to spending quality time face to face with the King of Kings. Now let's flip over here, or scroll over to, if you look at chapter 17, but I want to scroll over to Jeremiah 19, verse 15. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of the northern kingdom, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. Now we hear criticism from the liberals saying, well, boy, he's getting revenge, you know. They set themselves up as the God. You know, they make their own God, and that's who they think they are, I guess. But I guess I'm a good conservative. Well, A good one. Wait a minute. Against abortion, dancing, drinking, and smoking, and sodomy. No, there's much more than the three do not do's in church: dancing, drinking, and smoking, or cussing. That fourth one there. But trust in Yahweh's word, not in man's government. And, well, what about the miracles? Do they authenticate your belief? Winston Churchill once said, you stumble on the truth, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and then you wander off. No, miracles are not a authenticator of Yahweh's word necessarily. In a few cases it was, but it's not the main way that we are to establish these different truths of Yahweh or different teachings. Then let us turn over here to Ephesians, which says, not unto works are we saved, but by faith we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest anybody should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Messiah. We are his workmanship created in Yahweh HaMashiach, unto great works, which Yahweh has before ordained that we should walk in them. There the Apostle Shaul, in that assembly, and to us, is speaking. It's not a stretch that this applies to us just because it says Ephesians. No, and he also says in that second chapter that we were strangers from the covenants of promise and from the commonwealth of Israel, but now we have drawn nigh to Yahweh. Yeah, read it all. I can't quote it all off the top of my head and off the top of my mind. Then in Romans, we're grafted in, Romans 11. We're just like those strangers back in Israel and in wandering in the desert and so on, 40 years. But now that we're made free through Messiah, but we're like them, we have to be grafted in to him and to his good olive tree. And yes, and draw nigh to his favorite nation of Israel and to Judah, Yehuda. If some of the branches be broken off, now being a wild olive tree, if some of the branches be broken off, were grafted in among them, partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. And then concerning being a Jew, first mentioned way, way back in the Old Testament, but Romans chapter 2, he qualifies, but he is a Jew who is not one just outwardly, but which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that also of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yahweh. We are the chosen children. Hosea 1, that is in the book of Hosea here, chapter 1 now. The number of the chosen children shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. How then can we not be physical or spiritual Israel, of course? Or are we a Greek? Are we a Gentile Greek? Well, no, I'm of spiritual Israel. And actually, Eber being our last name, there is still exists that river Eber in Germany. It's still there, and that was one of Shem's sons or grandsons. Yes, we are the of the number one tribe, of Ephraim. Well, that's true. Yes, many of us did start out in such a state of rebellion that it seemed like we'd. Some would say, well, it's impossible for me to be saved, but we are saved by the blessed blood of the Messiah, Yahushua HaMashiach, who died for us on the tree at Calvary, and in our place, but also that we no longer have to bring a sacrifice of animal to be, or a dove or something to be sacrificed there at the temple by the priest, but the Messiah, who is the Melchizedek priest, he is our priest, and he offers himself. Hopefully that we don't put him on that cross daily by our disobedience. But by our love, we hope that we'll be drawn nigh and keep his word. And we all have to be obedient to it. And how we love thy law. How I love thy law. Even though, yes, it is Jewish, you could say in a manner of speaking there. But Paul agrees with King David. How I love thy law. That's written there in Romans chapter 7. How many love to just dispense with that, with the second part of Romans 7, or to minimize it? Not by works of righteousness, though, that I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved me. No, we can't be too careful, can we? And we need to live by every word, Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4 and Deuteronomy 8, that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Yes, I'm to live as it says there in Isaiah, Yeshayahu 28, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Yes, to take the whole harmony of the word concerning any truth or doctrine. That is the way to live, to walk in Yahweh's word and in his covenant. That is the paramount thing that we need to do as a believer. I know it's not emphasized at all in nominal Christianity, but keeping the covenant, basically it started out in Jeremiah 31, where we could read about that, but repeated, it doesn't need to be, but Hebrews 8 and then Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith Yahweh. I'll put my Torah into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, so that we can forget them. Will we forget them? Well, somebody might be able to quote them word for word, but how about the keeping of Yahweh's word? The Torah, or the Pentateuch, is considered to be the first five books of Scripture, Genesis through Deuteronomy, for those who didn't know that nomenclature there. So the Pentateuch, or the Torah, we like to call it the Torah, which means law, that subject that many like to avoid. And, well, we will probably deal with Isaiah again here and go to Isaiah 5:13 and kind of make this a wonderful feast, or kind of like a fun summer camp, you know, by basking and relishing and bathing in Yahweh's word today in the Spirit. Here on YahwehNotYahweh.com, and we started out today speaking about the liberty that we have by walking in Yahweh's truth and his word and his law, and walking by the Spirit. That there be no mistake, we must continue on in his word. We got to continue. And you could finish up there by reading the first couple of chapters of the book of the Revelation about those works that we need to maintain, the good works. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. So let's go over that again in Ephesians chapter 2. So it's Ephesians 2:11, King James, first of all. And wherefore, therefore, remember that you being in times past were Gentiles in the flesh. Yes, you were, even if you were broken off from the good olive tree. If you had called yourself a Jew, but you were a Gentile, really, if you were from the northern kingdom and the tribe of Ephraim and believed in a watered-down faith like we sometimes have. Gentiles who are called uncircumcision, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. But now, in Messiah, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Messiah. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of the partition between us, having abolished in his flesh. Now here's the critical point now. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, and I should just read, even though they added things here that are in italics and things that are not, but having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Those were added. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto Yahweh in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. And for though through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yahweh. You're no more strangers and foreigners, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Yahushua himself, Messiah being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto us the pure temple in Yahweh, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Yahweh through the Spirit. That is the word of Yahweh from Ephesians chapter 2. Then the Hebrew paraphrase, and some pastors would possibly object to this, but we're going to do this. Okay, let's see. Literal translation in context with the Torah, and with a foundation being Yahweh's word, the same scriptures that Paul had in the Pentateuch now. 2:11, therefore remember that you who were once people of the nations in the flesh, that at that time you were without Messiah, being foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in this world. But now in the Messiah, Yahushua, or Yeshua, he said, you who once were far off have now been made near by the blood of Messiah. For Yahushua himself, or Yeshua, is our shalom, who has made us one and has taken down the Soreg wall, the middle wall of partition. Here's the critical verse now, but in the paraphrase. Having abolished in the flesh that hostility created by the law of commandments contained in civil man-made ordinances, so as to create in himself from the two peoples one new man, creating shalom, peace, so that he might reconcile us both to Elohim in one body through the execution stake, by putting to death the hostility between us. For this reason, the message of shalom, peace, that Yahushua preached, the Messiah preached, was for you who were far off, as well as to us who are near. And as such, through him, all have access to the Father through the same Ruach. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with a set apart ones and members of the household of Yahweh, built upon the foundation laid by the emissaries, prophets, and Messiah himself has become the chief cornerstone. I think we can rest there at verse 20. And going back to the King James one more time, let me read that verse 15. For after, now he is our peace in the middle wall, or the Soreg wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now, some of the added words there were even and contained in ordinances. Those words were added. There's no reason for that. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity against the law of commandments in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And then we could skip over to verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of Yahweh. Okay, so that could be a more deeper penetrating study there for some, if you would like to do that someday. Oh, I've got to look on the screen somehow against the light here, and okay, there, I got that paraphrase out of the way. Then, keeping the covenant of Yahweh is paramount in our life. He didn't teach us to speak against the Torah, otherwise in the book of Luke, chapter 1 and 2, where Elizabeth and Zechariah, John the Baptist's parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah, were perfect, it says. They were perfect and blameless before Yahweh. They did not speak against Yahweh's law. There was no correcting of that. Why didn't he teach against the Torah? Why did he teach in the Sermon on the Mount? Why did he teach Torah and magnify the law and make it honorable? Well, he taught the law because he is the Messiah. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh, it says there in the book of John and also 1 John. No, he did not teach against Torah like so many protesting leaders that we might hear today on the Christian radio stations. Therefore, the scripture says over here in Isaiah, if you scroll over there or turn the hard copy pages, those well-worn pages of the King James Version or whichever closest to the original manuscript. Therefore, in Isaiah or Yeshayahu chapter 5:13 and verse 24, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. This is similar to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, or pastor to me. Yahweh says, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law, or Torah, of Yahweh, I will also forget thy children. And then chapter 6 of Hosea, but they like men have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously with me. I have written to him the great things of my Torah, but they were counted as a strange thing. That was actually chapter 8 and verse 12. So once again, the verses were 4, 6, chapter 6, verse 7, and 8, verse 12. Then back to Yeshayahu chapter 5:13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. And then verse 24 says, and I want all those pastors to hear this, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the Torah, or the law. Well, of course, there could be many definitions, but he's talking about they've cast away the commandments, statutes, and judgments, the Torah of Yahweh of hosts, and despise the word of the pure one of the Hebrews, that is, the Father. Then in Isaiah 9, verse 7, beginning with 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. You say, hold on, brother. Without Yahweh's form of government, you shall have no shalom or peace. Isn't that what that said? Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end of the shalom or peace. Praise Yahweh that we no longer reject the Torah. We were brought up to have a little bit different viewpoint of the Old Testament, condemning it, saying, oh, that was Old Testament, that was Jewish. That was the schoolmaster that was against us, but we didn't know that schoolmaster applied to the tabernacle laws of the animal sacrifices, the laws that we thought were against us. No, these laws are for us, for our being blessed. We'll even physically be blessed, perhaps. I know on that Stalin's daughter once said that only those who die in obedience to Yahweh will find peace. Unlike her father, who died with much pain, and he shook his fist at the Almighty and denied him once more, and then he went to his death to meet his Maker someday at the judgment. So in bondage, contrary to what we hear from you liberal pastors, bondage is not obeying the Torah, but it is the repercussion from disobeying the Torah. The Protestant pastor will not begin at the foundation of Paul and all of our proper fathers of the faith, the beginning, the Torah. But they will try to take Paul's letters and twist the words. Unlearned men wrest and twist the truth of Yahweh's word to their own destruction. The false pastor uses the word, we're not condescending or agreeing with them, but they use the word Jewish or ceremonial, which actually, I don't believe that word is anywhere in Scripture. Ceremonial, ceremony might be, but ceremonial, no, there's no category set apart for that. But those would be ceremonial things having to do with sacrifices, but also a ceremony is something that conducting an official gathering together of people, even as they do on the Sunday. That's also, they're being under the ceremonial law at that time by going to church. They're under the ceremonial law, whether they agree or know it or not. Well, that's just over words, though. They don't understand maybe what the sacrificial law, the animal sacrifices, that's what that pertains to. Yes, well, we know. And someday maybe they'll learn. They'll shape up. We learn the basics of the Torah, the law of love, and magnify Yahweh in our heart and in our flesh. And yes, in our flesh even. Romans chapter 12, is it? That says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, pure and acceptable unto Yahweh, which is only the least. It's our reasonable service. The love is magnifying Yahweh in our heart and in our flesh. Obeying the word, as John says in 1 John 5, obeying the word is defined as love. Hallel Yahweh. How we want to praise him and serve him. We have the faith of Abraham there in Bereshit 17:1, that he obeyed Yahweh's commandments, statutes, and judgments. This was even way before Moses by thousands of years. Matthew 5:48, the Son of Yahweh said, be ye perfect, even as my heavenly Father is perfect. So become perfect, it could be interpreted. The sign of the covenant. Yes, that's important too. Bereshit 26, verse 5. The forgiveness of sins that are past are covered in this covenant. And, okay, Amos, I think, no. How about Malachi first? Malachi, but don't let me forget to go up the page here to that one from Revelation again. Malachi chapter 2 now. And then we could do Revelation and Amos. Amos is close. We'll do them together. Malachi 2 verse 7 now is more powerful than our own words. For the pastor's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the Torah at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. Oh, no, wait a minute. That should be a small h. I'll have to change that now. For I think referring the pronoun he, they're referring to the at the beginning, the noun, the pastor's lips or priest's lips. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you are departed of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the Torah. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Verse 9, that's Malachi 2:9. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people. That's what's happening out there in the world on the search for tomorrow. Before all the people, according to us, have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the Torah. Yes, they believe in 9 commandments, or 8 or 7. You've been partial in the Torah. You know, even the jailbirds down there disagree with that pastor who says the Torah was done away. That's nonsense. The 10 commandments done away with? No, we all learn those. We memorize them, but it's Yahweh's word. Take his word over man's word, and you'll do all right. No, you won't be saved by any of that. No, that's a result of salvation of soterion, is to walk in the word, the halakha, to walk with Yahweh. And when you hear a speaker say that the law, in effect, is for this dispensation only, and in the same breath he says it was done away with, well, we have to depart from that preacher's viewpoint and teaching. He probably learned it in seminary. Strangely, if you compare what they said in the 1950s in church to what is being said today from the pulpit, there's quite a contradiction between what they used to say and what they broadcast now from Christian radio. So instead of supporting the liberal popular party line, many turn to house churches, and hopefully they're doing well. Then, I will go to Revelation, but Amos 5:18 warns us. Over here to Amos now. And getting a little bit warm there. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. You know, we all think that we're all going to get raptured. But woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. To what end is it for you? The day of Yahweh is darkness and not light. Shall not the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? That was Amos 5:18. And the other scriptures are in harmony. They are in parallel, and they will agree with all the other scriptures here. The trumpet, that's the... first the dead in Messiah will rise, as we have read there in Thessalonians and in Peter and 1 Corinthians 15:50. And the resurrection is not past. Those who teach that the resurrection is already past and people are already in heaven are trying to overthrow the belief of some, overthrowing the faith of some. So, up in Revelation then, here at the end, the rest of the story, Revelation 1:6 says, and he has made us kings and priests unto Yahweh and his Father. So we're kings and priests. To him be esteem and dominion forever and ever. Hallel, hallel. Chapter 5, verse 10 in Revelation. And he has made us unto our Yahweh kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. No, none of this nonsense of going immediately up to heaven. How are you going to get back down to the earth to New Jerusalem for 1,000 years? Or how are you going to do it? It doesn't say, does it? No, it doesn't say we zap up and get raptured up to heaven and then come on down in that cloud to New Jerusalem. But that's our first destination. Our first itinerary is on the earth at New Jerusalem. Yes, that great city. It's all defined for you in Daniel and in the book of Revelation. We are priests of Yahweh as we believe in the true Messiah, the scriptural one. As we keep the feast days, we are reminded of our salvation. That's soteriology, of learning salvation through Yahweh's word being preached at every feast day, including the Sabbath, but the three main feasts of Passover, Pentecost and Tabernacles in the autumn. Tabernacles in the autumn are Sukkot. Shavuot is first fruits or Pentecost, which is kept a full 50-day count after from the wave sheaf day. A wave sheaf is on a Sunday. It's not a Sabbath or a high day or anything, but we do honor that as well. The wave sheaf, that is, not the day. Messiah actually rose on the 17th of the month. In any year, we can always count that as the 17th because he was in the grave 3 nights and 3 days, Matthew 12:40. He was in the grave as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, which was some kind of a miracle. However that happened, it was a miracle. And so we want to go on ahead and keep Yahweh's perfect word, and do not teach against in any way against it, not even tongues. I don't teach against tongues or baptism or tithing about the name of Yahweh or his calendar. It's all delineated right there in Scripture for us. Even the equinox, tikvah is the Hebrew word for equinox, the revolution of the year. That's how to find that word about the equinox is first at the beginning of the year, which is called Aviv, or Nisan, which is a common word, but Aviv 1 is the new year. Aviv 14, when Messiah died on that the end of Passover day before sunset, and he rose at the end of the 17th. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they came to the tomb, and the others eventually on the 18th, which of that year, then that was a Sunday when they came to the tomb. But where was he? He was already gone. Yes, Messiah had already risen from the tomb at the end of the 17th, at the third day, the end of the cycle there of being in the grave and being dead 3 nights and 3 days. Also see Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to grow dusk, or dawn in the King James, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, that's at sunset, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. Well, those of you who are well grounded in the Old Testament, even in Bereshit or Genesis, have quite an advantage over the others of us who we didn't really know anything about Yahweh's law. But keep listening to these podcasts where calls are coming in now, and this is the end of the thing there. But this is YahwehNotYahweh.com is our website, and the email is StephanYah@YahwehYahweh.name, N-A-M-E. And we hope to hear a comment or two from you to keep the program going and these worship services and everything. And also maybe play a little music here from the Jews for Jesus, the Jews for Messiah, sang a beautiful song here. So we could finish that one up, or maybe a different one from the guy from Saskatchewan. Not Alberta, it was from Scotland. What is this? Trevor Baker. He has some great gospel songs. There's some great ones in the hymnal. Some of them talk about seafaring travel back over 100 years ago. And it's parallel to the scriptures. A lot of those good old-time songs were reflective of having a safe harbor, for example, we find in the book of Psalms. So if there's anything else that I can share that would be helpful to you, other than pecuniary assistance, of course, we don't respond to unsolicited begging for money and things that we just can't help everybody in the world. And we're a retired ministry here. We pay our own way. We pay for the website and all the supplies, for the food, the heat, and the housing, and the ministry. Everything is taken care of by my wife and I. And we're doing, by Yahweh's help, a fairly good job getting maybe 100 people a week possibly out there. I don't know. I don't hear from, maybe one or two people every month maybe. But we really get encouraged when you write us. So once again, that's StephanYah, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H. StephanYah, or like Zephaniah, but with the Hebrew letters. StephanYah at YahwehYahweh.name. Don't use the Z. I'm trying to mislead you there, I guess. Let's hear some more inspiring music now, since this is a worship time. And as we, with the help of the Spirit, walk in Yahweh's word, his law, and surrender ourselves. We surrender our carnal nature, all of our appetite and everything to Yahweh, including not eating pork, by the way. As we surrender all of that in our vacation time, yes, we keep the feast days and not man-made vacations. We surrender all when they say, Lord of my life. We don't use the word Lord here, but necessarily. But yes, he is the commander in chief of our life, and we check with him at any time, all times, as to what the proper actions and behavior and attitudes should be in his word. We don't have to pray for a for a confirmation of a word out of thin air, because that is asking for possibly someone other than Yahweh to speak to us. If we hear words being spoken by some spirit, they better agree 100% with the word of Yahweh, including any predictions, including miracles. I don't care what it is. If he tells us to walk down the road and take a left-hand turn, we may be right into the oncoming traffic and find instant death or something. So listen to Yahweh's word. Make that the first priority in your life, right? And I'll try to do the same thing as we go along here. And we'll meet again here, right here at this spot on your browser and on that computer. Thank you very much. Shalom to you and blessings. Blessings in everything that we think and all of our actions and deeds. All of our finances go up to Yahweh. And we surrender all, as the song says. What a beautiful song. Praise Yahweh. Shalom, or goodbye, and with peace. Bye-bye.
Take away the doubt that hides the perfect will. Give me faith instead, and with thy spirit fill. Then all my days be the God.